Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, a lot to talk about today. As always, very, very, very busy week. So many different things going on. In the fourth segment of the show today, I'm going to, if you're on Facebook Live, you saw the title of the show. We're All in the Womb Now is something that I've been kind of a thought, a contemplation that I've been mulling over for the last week or so as we've been dealing with so many things on the pro-life front, First Amendment, constitutional rights, trying to submit to the governing authorities as far as we can, what's been going on with Love Life in Greensboro and the arrests and all that kind of stuff. And so just looking at what's happening around the world, tying it to the abortion issue and versus how we're handling the coronavirus pandemic, not just here in America, but around the world. So I want to unpack that for you. A couple other really, really powerful letters. Coronavirus is a vicious contagion, but the real plague is our panic, from my friend Steve Dace, who's on The Blaze, believer in Christ, and that's really, really powerful. Several other things. After the 4:30 break, we're going to talk to Sam Sorbo, who's married to Hercules. So that's Kevin Sorbo's wife. She's involved with a group out of Texas that they've made all kinds of homeschooling materials for free available online, kindergarten through fifth grade. So I'm trying to bring up as many opportunities as I can for getting us some help at home if you need that, if you have kids. The kindergarten through fifth grade or family members, grandchildren, whatever the case may be. So a lot of things going on, a lot of updates to give you. But real quick, let's get an update because things are moving forward with Love Life and what's happening in Greensboro, and that issue is coming up around the country. But our good friend Josh Kappas is with Love Life and is calling us right now. Josh, how are you? Thanks for calling in.
Good, Steve. How are you?
Good, man. Thank you so much. And you and I are seeing each other a fair amount and talking all the time. So much going on the front here, and I know Alliance Defending Freedom got involved. This was just kind of a breaking story earlier today. So kind of give us an update on what's happening there.
Alliance for Defending Freedom obviously has taken our case now. They made an announcement today about that. And they have sent a demand letter as of yesterday to the city of Greensboro, basically stating that they've gone too far in their implementation of the mandate, and they have until the end of today to respond to that letter.
Yeah, with the hopes being that they're just going to back off, and then Love Life folks and other volunteers, other pro-lifers there in Greensboro, and hopefully in other cities as well, can kind of come back out, maintain social distancing, comply with everything that's fair to comply with, but to be out there and praying and interceding and offering these much-needed services to these women that are going down that road is kind of the goal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we've made it really clear along the whole way. Two things that are on my heart is, one, our issue is not with the Greensboro Police Department, but then also, two, we are convicted that it is possible to safely and legally minister to these families, to be peacefully praying outside, just as many other people are enjoying other outside activities, and not be a threat to further spread the virus in any way.
Right, because there's other situations that are much more dangerous to be in, like probably going to Home Depot or Lowe's tomorrow morning. You'll be in a much more dangerous situation in terms of passing the coronavirus around. But, yeah, it's never been, and I was out there Monday and watched that whole thing happen, as you know, and it's never been about disrespecting the police. It's been about, number one, our calling from God to intercede on behalf of these children, these moms and these dads, and try to be out there to give a voice to the voiceless and help those that are downtrodden. And then as people that know our rights, like Paul did as a Roman citizen, we have to know our rights and exercise those rights. And so we have a couple of different things going on here, and it's really been encouraging to see how Love Life has handled it in a very godly, peaceful way, trying to respect the governing authorities as much as possible while maintaining our allegiance to the higher law. So it's been kind of a wild week. Did you ever think you would see something like this, Josh? And by the way, everybody, Josh is also a pastor, so he's been around this for a while.
The more that you have an effect in making a difference in people's lives, the more the spiritual enemy is going to press back. And so, honestly, I didn't think Greensboro would be the place. We know that there's difficulties in the work that we're doing, and we welcome those. It's worth it. Everything that happened to this point has resulted in many, many babies being saved between the four cities. We praise God for that. As people are safely ministering, the partnering ministries that are out there, Cities for Life in Charlotte, team in New York City, the New Hope Compassion Care Center in Greensboro, they're out of Yadkinville, but they're ministering in Greensboro. They're doing a phenomenal job, and the Lord is honoring their faithfulness, and they're continuing to do that in a way that's law-abiding and safe.
And now, what's the kind of the official position from Love Life, you know, there in Greensboro, down in Charlotte, here in Raleigh, up in New York City? Because all of us are trying to abide by the authorities and these rules and guidelines as much as possible. So just remind people, because there's a lot of Love Life people that listen to this show and are coming out, and I know a lot of people want to come out tomorrow. What's kind of the official encouragement and direction to folks that are interested in being a part of Love Life right now?
Yeah, so I would continue to watch our website, our Facebook page. We'll communicate through email and also through our app, but we have no official Love Life gatherings tomorrow. Individuals can come and pray as they feel so led. We're asking them not to wear Love Life shirts, and it's their individual choice to be out there. Now, specifically in Greensboro, because of everything that's going on, we are asking folks not to come to Greensboro at this time until things are settled a little further with the city.
Yeah, which is wise. We're trying to walk that fine line of being shrewd as vipers and gentle as doves, and trying to obey the earthly authorities while we, of course, submit ourselves ultimately to our heavenly authority from the Father. So that's it. That's for everybody. And you have individual decisions to make, everybody, what you're going to do. But like I said on a Zoom call earlier, hey, welcome back to the first century, everybody, where there's a chance that your Christianity, at least here in America, might actually cost you something. And so it's a challenging time for all of us, but also an incredible opportunity within the darkness of what's going on. There's the light of the church and the truth and the gospel. Josh Kappas with Love Life, lovelife.org. God bless you, brother. Thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you and probably see you real soon.
All right, man. God bless you too, bro.
You too. Talk soon. That was Josh Kappas with Love Life, lovelife.org. Again, not officially meeting tomorrow, but if you feel so led, go on out. Abide by the separation, all that kind of stuff. But remember God's command on us to reach out for these lost ones. We'll be right back. I dare you to Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you today. It was good to hear from our friend Josh Kappas at Love Life. And by the way, they're in Greensboro, North Carolina, and any other place that's passing these types of, whether it's a county, a city, or an entire state passing these things. The city says that arrests, this is Greensboro, North Carolina, okay, Guilford County, they're in the middle of the state. The city says that arrested the Love Life members because they traveled by car and not by foot. They parked somewhere and then they walked, like I did. And because they traveled from outside the county, prohibitions found nowhere in the proclamation or in any law. The city also claimed that the proclamation gives the city the authority to prohibit First Amendment activity, which is also untrue. No kidding. Have you ever heard of the Supremacy Clause of the United States Constitution? Not a city, not a county, not a state, none of you can pass a law or an ordinance or implement anything that is inconsistent with the U.S. Constitution and violating people's First Amendment rights, number one, to assemble, and number two, the right to free exercise of your religious beliefs and your conscience, which falls under that, is also a protection under the First Amendment. And they can't violate it. They just can't. That's where there's a constitutional, a bit of a constitutional crisis here. There was a lawsuit that just got filed up in Michigan for the same thing against Governor Whitmer's executive order. And on March 31st, a guy named Bellinger is his last name, was engaging in his free speech activity on the public sidewalk outside the Scottsdale's Women's Center, an abortion mill. He was preaching, holding a pro-life sign, and practicing social distancing, and they arrested him. Eight city of police vehicles, spit it out, Steve, and 15 city police officers arrived for one guy. So that shows you what's going on there. Okay, that's a direct assault because they're Christians fighting against abortion, quote-unquote. So that's what's going on there. And so we need to push back. The guy, the pastor down in Florida that was arrested. Did you hear about that story? The Florida pastor that was arrested because he had a couple of services, like 500 people there, whatever, and they arrested him Monday after last Sunday. And then Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel was on Johnny on the spot and went after the county. The county reversed their decision. Now the church's church services are deemed essential services. And so that happened in the county. And then the state followed suit. And a couple other states have followed suit now, saying church services are essential, especially if you put it in the context of the historicity of that statement in American history. Now, there's a challenge there. Now, in this particular case, before you think that pastor is just a belligerent idiot, they told all the older folks, you shouldn't come because you're highly much more susceptible. They told all the people with pre-existing conditions, especially respiratory conditions, you shouldn't come. And for the rest of you, we're going to practice social distancing. We're doing all this disinfectant stuff. I think they spent like $100,000 to bring in some industrial size air cleaners, all kinds of stuff. And then it's up to you as an individual under the U.S. Constitution and as a Christian to make up your own mind. And if you feel like, hey, listen, I'm not susceptible to this, this is the big problem. I've got a story here, a great article. This was in the Federalist late last week. We're following a one-size-fits-all coronavirus strategy right into a Great Depression. So that there's a conflict here. So they looked at this part. The city-country divide reemerges. This creates a divide between those who think the apocalypse is around the corner and those who are far more afraid of what this will do to their jobs and their children's future. As Dave Wasserman has been tracking the past few weeks, we are facing a gulf between urban and more suburban rural experiences where the percentage of deadly coronavirus cases is still quite low. According to the Tax Foundation, the top five states in terms of percentage increase in unemployment insurance claims, this is just recently, New Hampshire, 3,300% increase, Maine, 3,200% increase, Louisiana, 3,100% increase, Rhode Island, 3,000% increase, and Minnesota, 2,800% increase. Of these, only Louisiana currently has a serious outbreak of the coronavirus, and as lockdowns continue to spread, frustration with government will only grow in rural and suburban counties across the country. America's upper class will be fine. Their jobs can in large part be done remotely, and most will still be there in months. But as for the middle, many in the middle and working class across the country, there is no guarantee that their places of employment will be there. When Macy's furloughs 130,000 workers, it's a direct consequence of our government shutting down access to its consumers within a consumer-driven economy. When small businesses can't plan, loans do them little good. So they're calling for, in this particular article, all this uncertainty, we'll start at Easter, we won't start at Easter, we're adding 30 days. This requires massive amounts of wisdom. And before they were saying, first it's 2 million are going to die. Then it's 100,000 to 225,000. Now they're backing off of that one saying, well, it may not be that bad. And in the end, the final analysis, the challenge here where we all got to stay calm, is you're not going to know what we missed. This isn't like a hurricane that's approaching and then barely misses, doesn't make much landfall, goes out to sea. You can see the whole thing. In this case, we can't see, we won't know what we missed. And that's a great thing. We need to praise the Lord for that. But does every state in the country need to be approaching this the same way they are in New York? I think the easy answer to that is no. And before they're like, masks don't really work. Fauci said that. And now today or yesterday, Dr. Fauci's saying, well, yeah, if you're going to go out, you should probably wear a mask. So which is it? And we're in election year, the entire House of Representatives, one-third of the Senate, and the presidency. So there's all that pressure. So you see, in many ways, we just kind of lost our minds. Check this out. This is Yadkin County Herald, Salisbury, North Carolina. Looking at the management of a pandemic like this, rule number one, every parent, guardian, or householder in the order named in whose family or household this exists shall post securely a placard with the name of the above disease printed thereon a conspicuous place in the front of his or her home. So somebody in here is sick. Okay, it's the father, it's the son, it's the daughter, whatever. Number two, no parent, guardian, or householder in the order named in whose family or household this problem exists shall permit any child or minor to attend any public or private schools, theater, party, picnic, or anything other public thing. Rule number three, no parent, guardian, or householder in the order named shall permit any child known to have been exposed to a case of whatever the pandemic is to attend any public or private school, Sunday school, church meeting. See what they're doing here? They're isolating people that are sick. Take them out of the mainstream. Keep them isolated until they're better, allow the proper amount of time, and then they can go out into the public, back out in the general. But not everybody is going to have a problem. As a matter of fact, we know 80% of the people that get the coronavirus, as far as all the information right now, aren't going to get seriously ill. 20% will, 5% of the whole total will ICU. And those are big numbers. That's a problem for the hospital system. But should that exist in every state and every county and every city? The urban centers are different than if you live in North Dakota. But right now we're doing a one-size-fits-all, which is tanking the economy. And I think on the other side of all this, we're going to be like, oh, man, that was really bad. And then, of course, in D.C., all they're going to do is blame each other. By the way, that was a document called Rules Governing Management Flu, Yadkin Valley Herald, Salisbury, North Carolina, November 26th, 1918. That was about the Spanish flu in 1918. And that's what they did 100 years ago. Pretty smart, right? Thanks to my buddy Carl Ford, Senator Carl Ford here in North Carolina, for sending that to me. And we're on a number of Carl's radio stations. Praise God for that. So that's what we have to pay attention to. Okay, on the other side of the break, we're going to talk to Sam Sorbo. Sam is an actress, a Christian woman, homeschooler, radio personality, and she's married to Hercules. So, yeah, Kevin Sorbo is her husband. And she's working with a group out of Texas. I wanted to bring this story on the other side of the break because for those of you that are now homeschooling or your grandchildren are now being homeschooled, they have free resources that literally will send you a lesson plan every day, kindergarten through fifth grade. So I found out about this through a buddy of mine, Matt Faraci, and thought that was a great thing to share. So if you have children K through five or grandchildren K through five, these are free online resources, literally a kind of a homeschooling plan for them every single day. So we'll talk to Sam Sorbo on the other side of the break. Then at the last part of the show, I'm going to talk about a couple of big stories, and then I'm going to explain why I'm calling today's show We're All in the Womb Now. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Last week, a week ago on Friday, we talked to a couple of different folks, a couple of CEOs, one of VidAngel, because they were offering all kinds of things free. Now VidAngel is available free, so you can go online and take advantage of that. That's where you can see the series Chosen, which is awesome. And then Minnow, which is a great, did Sunday services for kids, because churches all over the country now doing Sunday services online, but nothing for the kids. So Minnow, M-I-N-N-O, started doing that. So we talked to them last Friday, and I want to keep sharing these different resources that God has made available through some very kind and wise and smart and sharp people. And today, it's kind of funny, the Noble family, our family, homeschooled for 16 years, and now across America, apparently we're all homeschoolers now. So for a lot of people, they just don't know what to do, and a lot of public school systems weren't prepared for this. They weren't prepared to go online, especially if they don't have a lot of money, they're not on computers, they don't have iPads, all that kind of stuff. So there's a group out of Texas that got together, and they were looking at this opportunity. It's coronavirushomeschooling.com. When would you ever think you would put the name of a pandemic with homeschooling as a 16-year homeschooling family? It's just crazy, but that's where we're at. But praise the Lord that we have these kinds of resources out there. Tens of millions of families suddenly finding themselves educating. This is from their press release from home. This is the Texas Homeschool Coalition, which is pretty much the largest homeschooling state in the nation next to California. And so they started to work around the clock to get all this ready and to get it out there as a free resource to people. And so it's there now, coronavirushomeschooling.com. And then they got together with Sam Sorbo, who's an accomplished actress, an author, a homeschool mom, and also on the radio. And if you're sitting there going, Sam Sorbo, why do I recognize that name? Well, you may know of Sam. You definitely know of her husband, Hercules, which is Ken Sorbo. And now, Sam, how many times have you heard that lame joke ever since you and your husband got married?
I didn't actually hear the lame joke, but I can imagine what it was. But I typically respond with, they call me Hercules.
Yeah, because that's what I said. Well, you might not know Sam Sorbo. Perhaps you do, but you definitely know her husband, Hercules, Kevin Sorbo. And then I'm like, why did I even say that? Because I'm sure you've heard that so many times ad nauseum. But anyway, Sam, thanks for calling in today. It's great to have you on.
Well, he really is the strongest man in the world, so I'm good with all of it.
That's awesome. And it's been really cool to see how the Lord has used both of you guys. And you do a lot of different ministry things, and what you're doing here with the homeschooling is great. So tell us about this. How did you get involved, and how does this work, coronavirushomeschooling.com?
Well, I think they involved me because I'm a bit of a loudmouth, and I've been just screaming about how fabulous home education can be for a family. For about 10 years now, I have a book out called Bear Your Kids and another book called Teach from Love, which is a school year devotional for families. And So I've been sort of on the circuit for a while, and they reached out because they needed a spokesperson, and I think I'm kind of the perfect person for this because I so believe in it. And so together, you know, we created coronavirushomeschooling.com, which is a site where we are offering free curriculum, soup to nuts. So right now we've got K-5 available absolutely free to any family who wants to go and download it. And that is worldwide, by the way. We've got people from Greece coming. We've got people from the UK coming. And we're just offering. So you go on, you sign up, you get a daily email in your inbox with all the information you need to have a full day of school with your first, second, third, fourth, fifth graders, kindergarten too. And projects to do, and crafty things to do, and games to play. And it's the whole thing, because we really want people, look, this is a difficult time for everyone, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And for families in particular who are not used to spending time together, and for parents who are already beleaguered, worried about their jobs, worried about the future, worried about working from home. And now the government says, now you must educate your children at home. And they didn't feel capable of doing it before. How do you think they feel now? So we're ready to come alongside. If you go over to the site, coronavirushomeschooling.com, and the first thing you see is relax. Take a deep breath. You've got this, and we are here to help. You know, that kind of an attitude. And as I think you said, you homeschool, right?
Yeah, 16 years.
Yeah, so you know it's not rocket science. And, in fact, you're not supposed to know everything. You're supposed to come alongside your children, basically inspire their innate creativity, their innate curiosity to learn, and just show them how learning happens. And the fact is, learning happens anywhere, at any time, all day long. So you don't need to be inside the four walls of a school to be learning anything. But unfortunately, having gone through school, we all emerge with this sort of inability, lack of self-confidence, I would say. So we're here to just give you a little bit of a boost in confidence and help you on your way, and we think you're going to love it. And, of course, we're hoping that you keep doing it, because we love homeschoolers. We want to grow our ranks.
Yeah, and I think that's what I was just thinking as I first found out about it earlier in the week and was looking at the website and kind of going through some of the things that are on there and then listening to you today. It's going to be very interesting to see kind of the influx into homeschooling this fall when, God willing, we all kind of get back to normal. But it's such an awesome thing. But it can be really daunting for people. So there's three steps. We're talking to Sam Sorbo, who's on behalf of coronavirus, this is so wild to put these two things together. I think that's why I keep skipping on it. Coronavirushomeschooling.com. Step one, take a deep breath, which is so important. This is just reality. But you can get through it. I think a lot of people, and you mentioned this, Sam, kind of sit there and go, oh, no, this is going to be 7-8 hours of this grueling thing. But especially for kindergarten through fifth grades, it doesn't have to be like that. It can be very fun. Sign up for support is number two. Get the tools you need to educate your children. Sammy, we're mentioning this is like a daily email you get that's got lessons, plans, and even worksheets that you can get. All of that is pretty much everything in a box, right?
It's everything in a box, really. And we're trying to make it really easy for parents because we understand how daunting it is. Look, when I first started, I felt so inadequate. In fact, the subtitle of my book is an inspirational journey from self-doubter, because I was, to homeschool advocate. So so that's what we understand parents are. They're full of self-doubt because they've been taught that they can't do anything that they haven't been formally instructed on by a teacher at Blackboard.
Yep.
And it doesn't really matter that they've already proven that to be a lie in myriad ways. Nobody taught you how to buy a car. Nobody taught you how to rent an apartment, but you did it. And so we're just here to say, you've got this. We can help you. Here it is. And then hopefully, you know, parents will sort of catch the bug and go, you know what, it's not only is it not as difficult as I thought, but it's a lot more fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a lot of fun. And that's the thing. And my wife, it's funny, my wife Gina was always like, hated school. She didn't like school when she was little. She didn't like school in high school. She didn't particularly like school in college. But then the Lord just really got on her case when our kids were young, and she called to homeschool. She's like, listen, I never really liked school. I don't think I can do this. And then it was just amazing to watch what God could do with a willing spirit and somebody that didn't like school at all and then turns into a 16-year homeschooling veteran. And there's a lot of help out there.
Yeah, but that's because school makes learning hard.
Yeah, that's right.
It just does.
Yep.
It's the institution. It's just what happens. And so I hated school also. And I thought that I was completely inadequate to teach my kids. But if you think that you're inadequate to teach a third grader and you went through high school, then what does that say about your education?
Yeah, no kidding. Great point. Yeah, and that's it. It's, we sit there and go, our memories of school for most of us, it's just this, you know, I owe, so off to work I go. It's this painful thing. But homeschooling just changes the dynamic of your family. It's a great way to bond, and especially if you're a follower of Christ, be able to embed a Christian worldview and that kind of discipleship interspersed with all the other subjects that you do. It really becomes a huge blessing, and it's so exciting. But you just got to realize, get in there, and God will be with you. And other resources like this is just awesome. So again, coronavirushomeschooling.com is the website. Kindergarten through fifth grade right now. An email every day with everything that you need to be able to handle this at home. And you will be blessed, and you're not alone. There's a community there you can tie into. So just a great blessing. And we just really appreciate you, Sam, calling in. And thanks for helping out with this. It's such a great project.
Well, it's my pleasure. I've been putting videos up online every day since started this lockdown, and so they can go to samsorbo.com for those if they just need some encouragement or some ideas. You know, parents are going to be struggling with obedience and authority inside the home because they've been sending their kids away. So thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. God bless you, Sam. Thanks so much. But stay safe out there. Thanks for calling
in.
All right, thanks. Bye-bye. And so there you go. What a great blessing that is, coronavirushomeschooling.com. So maybe it's not for you. Maybe you're in between. Your kids are older, but odds are you know somebody that could benefit from that, as well as if you're a grandparent. I know a lot of you are grandparents, and so that might be a great blessing to your son, your daughter, your grandchildren, so make sure you take advantage of that. Coronavirushomeschooling.com. By the way, if you're as cynical as I am, you might be saying, to yourself, and we're coming up on a break, was that like a paid gig, Steve? Did you get paid for them to be on the show? No, I didn't, and I don't. I don't think... In almost 13 years of doing radio, 3 years on Saturdays and almost 10 years daily, I don't think I'm trying to remember. That's a lot of radio shows. I don't think I've ever been compensated for an interview. Now, I've done long-term agreements with folks and their content providers, and like when I do things with Christian movies, and that'll be a six-month contract that we'll do as like an advertiser. But hey, Steve, I want to get on the air and hawk my thing. How much do I need to pay you? Call somebody else. I put that stuff on here because I'm trying to bless you. That's the body of Christ. I call it body economics. And so when I find out about something that I think could be a blessing to people, I share it on the air. When we come back, some really tough observations about what we're going through. We're all in the womb now. We'll be right back. 'Cause you are more than I could ever dream. This world could Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Busy, busy, busy. So many things going on. It's a heavy season, obviously. A lot of things happening very quickly, so we're just keeping an eye on that. We're talking about it a lot. We're talking about it from different angles. And I don't want to... We should need to take our own advice from yesterday. So if you're struggling with fear and anxiety, from a Christian counselor's perspective, yesterday's show was for you. And with Tate Cockrell, Dr. Tate Cockrell, who's got over 25,000 hours of counseling experience as a Christian counselor. He's also a professor here at Southeastern Baptist Seminary. And we were talking about that yesterday from a counseling perspective. So if you need a little help, if you know somebody that's struggling, and that would be a great show. They can either watch the Facebook Live recording from yesterday, or they can grab the podcast. Everywhere podcasts are offered, or you can go to the website, thestevenobleshow.com, and check it out there. So that's available. So I'm not making light of this. This is all very serious. But a couple things today that I wanted to cover. By the way, this on the political side, did you see this? This is this letter that Donald Trump sent to Chuck Schumer yesterday. Schumer's out there, you know, hammering away that the president's bumbling at the administration, blah, blah, blah. So this was thank you for your Democrat public relations letter and incorrect sound bites, which are wrong in every way. Number one, as you're aware, Vice President Pence is in charge of the task force. By almost all accounts, he's done a spectacular job. Number two, the Defense Production Act has been consistently used by my team and me for the purchase of billions of dollars worth of equipment. It's been a powerful leverage, so powerful that companies generally do whatever we're asking without even a formal notice. They know something is coming. That's all they need to know. Number three, a senior military officer is in charge of purchasing, distributing, etc. His name is Rear Admiral John Polchowick. He's working 24 hours a day and is highly respected by everyone. If you remember, my team gave you this information, but for public relations purposes, you chose to ignore it. Number four, We have given New York many things, including hospitals, medical centers, medical supplies, record numbers of ventilators, and more. You should have had New York much better prepared than you did. And as Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx said yesterday, New York was very late in its fight against the virus. As you are aware, the federal government is merely a backup for state governments. That's called federalism, by the way. Unfortunately, your state needed far more of a backup than most others. If you spent less time in your ridiculous impeachment hoax, which went haplessly on forever and ended up going nowhere except increasing my poll numbers in parentheses, and instead focused on helping the people in New York, then New York would not have been so completely unprepared for the invisible enemy. No wonder AOC and others are thinking about running against you in the primary. If they did, they would likely win. Fortunately, we have been working with your state and city governments, Governor Andrew Cuomo and Mayor Bill de Blasio, to get the job done. You have been missing in action, except when it comes to the press. While you have stated that you don't like Andrew Cuomo, you ought to start working alongside him for the good of all New Yorkers. I've known you for many years, but I never knew how bad a senator you are for the state of New York until I became president. If you have any questions, please don't hesitate to call. Or, in the alternative, call Rear Admiral Polchewick. Sincerely yours, Donald Trump. Classic. I wish he was like that on the stump, but he isn't. Okay. This is from my buddy Steve Dace. Great communicator, incredible writer. He's on the blaze. This is something every one of us needs to hear. Coronavirus is a vicious contagion, but the real plague is our panic. It took almost 20 years before the first polio vaccine trials and Jonas Salk injecting his own family with it to prove its integrity to America. After years of trying, science gave up on a vaccine for the first and less vicious SARS. We've had to evolve flu vaccines several times since the first one in the 1930s. Translation, if you're waiting for a SARS-2 coronavirus vaccine before resuming normal life, grab a Snickers. You're going to be here for a while. I know progressivism. Listen, this is super important. I know progressivism is the spirit of the age we're in. And many of our countrymen have been indoctrinated to believe government-contrived utopia is achievable. This progressivism starts from the desired outcome first under the assumption the ideal solution can always be had, especially if it requires making those who don't agree with you suffer on the way to achieving it. After all, ye can be like God. But the reality of this fallen world is the worst horrors have been unleashed seeking utopia. There are no perfect solutions east of Eden. We've even had to permit an iron curtain to stop the Iron Cross. The law of unintended consequences always comes into play. At some point, we have to assume the risk of mortality and weigh the overall societal cost of lost freedoms and a Great Depression. The generations that saw hundreds of thousands killed and paralyzed by polio understood this. And yet, they managed to industrialize America, win two world wars, and defeat their own Great Depression while still seeking a cure. Even the president they elected more times than any other, FDR, rallied the nation while confined to a wheelchair because of the polio virus. So why are we so stricken with panic in our time, shutting down our entire way of life on unreliable and contradictory data despite the technological advantages we have over them? Because ours, listen, and he's not saying this doesn't matter, okay? It's not what Steve Dace is saying here. But listen to this. This is important. Why are we doing this? Why are we reacting this way? Because ours is a godless society. So we are afraid of our own mortality. Deep down, we know we are not ready to meet our Maker after denying him for so long. Therefore, we wait for our secular Messiah, government, to deliver us from that day, or at least hold it off for as long as possible. Divorced from our Creator, we lack purpose and meaning to our lives. At best, they become a collection of experiences. At worst, we're a survival rate just marking time. But we were made for so much more, saved for so much more. The generations before us, despite their mistakes, at least understood this meta-truth, overarching narrative is what he means by that. And it propelled them, despite their errors and shortcomings, to pass on to us the greatest civilization the world has ever known. We have responded by handing over our freedoms, shuttering our churches, and bankrupting our economy at the first real sign of existential fear. The kind of existential fear they defeated, but we seem stubbornly determined to surrender to. Okay. That's really well written and a great point. What is it about the existential threat? Now, to my little line for today and for this whole virus situation. We're all in the womb now. 40 million abortions a year. Just shy of a million a year here in America. And that's been going on since 1973. Hardly anybody has lifted a finger to save the unborn. Governments, regular citizens, most Christians don't lift a finger to save the unborn, who can't speak for themselves, who can't defend themselves, And you want to know who wants 6 feet of social distancing more than anybody else? It's a baby in a womb and an abortion clinic today and tomorrow and every other day. Give them 6 feet of social distancing from the abortionist who's going to kill them. And what have we done? 10 million abortions already this year, worldwide. 10 million abortions already this year versus the coronavirus, which since December has killed 58,000. 10 million this year to date, worldwide, versus 58,000. The clip in America is about 18,000 abortions a week. Coronavirus deaths in America right now? Right now, 6,988. All a tragedy. Every single one of those lives, inestimable value because they're made in the image of God. So what's happened? We do almost nothing for 40 million a year. 40 million dead children a year. We do almost nothing. Now we're turning our entire culture upside down. 10 million people filed for unemployment in the last couple weeks. And if you were confused yesterday by the jobs numbers, well, there's only 700,000 lost jobs. So what's up with that? That's because that they stopped counting, and that was only through the middle of March. The last 2 weeks of March is when the train wreck hit, and that's the only first part of it. 3.3, then 6.6, 10 million jobless claims in the last 2 weeks. The jobless numbers that you heard yesterday, you know, down 700,000, that's just the first 2 weeks of March. So we're willing to train wreck our entire economy. What's the difference? What's the difference? Want to know what it is? Because now you're all in the womb now. We're all susceptible. You're more susceptible if you're older. You're more susceptible if you have pre-existing conditions. But now everybody's worried about it. I was in the grocery store earlier today. Now everybody's wearing masks. Why? What's different? Because now the threat is against you. It's not against the unborn who you don't see, you don't think about, you don't even know where the abortion clinic is. It's not against them. The threat's against you. And so when all of a sudden we're in the womb, we're facing the abortion, now we're ready to turn over the earth, to turn over our lifestyles, to turn over everything for ourselves. But we don't do next to anything for the babies, for the unborn. By the way, for the moms that make those choices, that are going to suffer for the rest of their lives, if they don't find healing and redemption through Jesus Christ and what can be offered through the truth of the scriptures and that kind of restoration, and the fathers that are going to deal with it, all of that. So all of a sudden, you've got 330 million Americans in the womb who have a 1.5 to 14% chance of dying. Because it's us, we turn the whole system upside down. But when it's them, who cares? Whatever. Doesn't apply to me. And I know most of you that love the Lord don't think that specifically about the life issue. Your heart isn't that callous where you'd say, I don't care. Every convictional Christian I know says they're pro-life and that they care. Of course I'm pro-life. I vote for pro-life candidates. Ever given a money to the pro-life cause? How often do you pray for the pro-life cause? And believe me, before 14 years ago, I didn't do jack about it either. And I was born, again, 10 years before that. So I'm not pontificating to you from some superior moral place. I'm way better at it now, but I didn't give a rip really back then, although I would have told you I was pro-life. We're all in the womb now. Everybody. Everybody's an unborn child now. A threat of death. But in an abortion clinic, I'll remind you, the mortality rate's 100%. With coronavirus, it's 1.5, 1.8. Way worse if you're older. Younger, not that big of a deal. Still a risk. We're turning everything inside out. Because all of a sudden, we're all susceptible. We do almost nothing for the babies in the womb. We're all in the womb now with them. How do you like that feeling? Please hear me. I'm not trying to be ugly and fill you with guilt and shame. That's God's deal. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. Like my dad always used to say, ever forward.